This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. On today's Noon Business Hour, some significant analysis of everything. Also, what's going on with people working from home as companies try to keep them connected? They want employees to still feel like a team. Right now, the latest developments on the COVID-19 outbreak. The largest yet, perhaps, India and the Olympics being impacted. Michelle Cortez is a health reporter at Bloomberg News based in Minneapolis. Michelle, let's begin with the Olympics. They're not canceled, but they are postponed.
They're postponing it for a year, yes, and it'll be interesting to see where we are in a year. There are definitely people out there who are predicting that this might turn into a seasonal event, that we might see coronavirus again next year. So whether or not we're going to be over all of this, stay tuned. We'll see.
And what about India? It's now going into shutdown mode.
India is completely shutting down for 21 days. They are not fooling around there. They do not want to have a huge outbreak like we've seen in Italy and China and sadly happening now in New York City. Interesting, Vice President Pence is doing a town hall right now, and he said that in the United States, they have never even considered shutting down the U.S.
Yeah, and yet in India, with a lot more people than the United States, they have done that. What are we hearing out of New York City? It sounds like the New York governor is saying it's just getting worse there.
It definitely sounds like things are getting a little bit scary there. They are running out of ventilators and beds for certain patients. If you're on social media, you can see some of the doctors who are tweeting about it and posting on Facebook. They are definitely starting to get seriously concerned. Interestingly, yesterday, a bunch of bioethicists came out and talked about how do you allocate things like ventilators when you have patients who need it, when you have more than one who needs this potentially life-saving therapy, and is it ever appropriate to remove a ventilator from somebody who it is keeping alive so that you can give it to someone you think might benefit a little bit more for it. So it's scary stuff that they're talking about.
And ventilators, we've heard a lot about that around the world and especially here in the U.S. I would imagine, I don't know what you've heard, but it seems like it's not like you can just turn, for example, an auto factory into a factory that makes ventilators. It seems like you need parts, you need equipment, you need know-how. There's just a lot to ramping up that production.
There is a lot to ramping up that production, and these are very sophisticated machines. So to think that we're going to be able to flip a switch and do it, you know, like have Tesla or Ford start ramping out ventilators in the next week or two is not likely. But if this does continue, as we talked about earlier, Cisco, that if it continues for, you know, another year or two, or if we start seeing it every year, maybe we would need to have some of this long term. But the FDA is making it easier to do some things that should help with supply chain, like using different kinds of plastics and tubings, making it easier to use different kinds of motors so that the manufacturers who are out there now might have a little bit better access to the supplies that they need in order to make these.
Good insight. Appreciate you joining us each day with all the latest. Michelle Cortez, a health reporter for Bloomberg News.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Working from home is the order of the day at many businesses. Let's discuss maintaining employee and management connectivity in these unprecedented times. Tom Gimbel is joining us, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network here in Chicago. Tom, I think at first a lot of companies scrambled just to get their employees online so they could get some work done. Now, though, camaraderie seems to be the next order of business.
There's no doubt about it, Cisco, and you have a bunch of different aspects of office camaraderie. Number one is collaboration and working together and how you do that without seeing everybody's face. And secondarily is the social interaction that you lose from the water cooler and the happy hours that are being missed, and trying to find the perfect balance of those. Because usually with workplace flexibility and working from home, it's not everybody, right? There's usually people holding down the fort, and it's a little bit harder when everybody's got it.
So what are some of the things that some companies are doing to try to make a team feel like a team?
Yeah, so what we've been doing at LaSalle Network, and we've been coaching all of our clients to do, is, and if people aren't using Zoom video software, they're really missing the boat. So it's like Skype, but easier and better to use and to log on. And so you can get up to 300 people at one time, and you can see everybody's face. So if you're doing a big company vetting, you can actually scroll screens and see everybody's face and what they're doing, and you're having eye contact with everybody. In addition, for one-on-ones, whether you're going to do Zooms or if you're using software like Slack, or we use Microsoft Teams, so you can do one-on-one video conferencing right off of that. And the good old-fashioned FaceTime. I've been FaceTiming with employees, and instead of calling them, I'm talking to them, because it's not about just seeing them and them seeing you. It's about them not having any interaction with anybody and trying to give the people aspect to them.
Well, it's especially a time for extroverts who really need people to actually feel some sort of connection.
There's no doubt about it. And I tell you, Cisco, even on the introvert side, is we all make fun of introverts, make fun of extroverts, and extroverts make fun of introverts. But the introverts like to be bothered a little bit more than they thought too. And when you have no choice but to stay home, it's really hard. So we instituted virtual happy hours twice a week. So at 5:30, we all log on to the video screens, and everybody has a drink if they want to, or no drink, obviously, but and have a virtual happy hour. And yesterday morning, we did sunrise virtual yoga, where we had one of our staff, who's a certified yoga instructor, led us through video yoga workouts.
And this is a way, it sounds like, not only for employees to feel connected, but also to get a little health benefit out of it, because a lot of people are not able to keep up with their regular exercise routine.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. And I think at the end of the day, leadership needs to step up and realize that they're not just corporate leaders. In a situation like this, you're leaders of people from a personal standpoint, too. Is that everybody doesn't have a life coach or a spouse that's going to hold them accountable, that sometimes you need a leader of your company to tell you, you know what, your physical and mental also help your professional, and you need to be reading books, and you need to be doing exercise and taking walks outside. It's not just about watching Netflix and doing a little bit of work.
Thanks so much, Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network here in Chicago. Still ahead, working on summer vacation plans during a time of spring uncertainty.
This is Chicago's all-news station. WBBM. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM and WBBMNewsRadio.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. Thanks for being with us. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Congress works to push through a coronavirus economic relief package. Planning any kind of trip is tough these days. People are doing a lot of driving at a time when gas could be headed under $1 a gallon. Wall Street, the Dow is up 1,599 points. The NASDAQ is up 418. And the S&P is up 165 points. Oil down about a third of a percent. Mix of sun and clouds throughout your day. High of 50. Right now, it's 41 degrees. State education leaders are working on recommendations for school districts whose students will be learning from home.
It appears active God school days off will be replaced by remote learning days in Illinois. Schools in the state are closed for sure until April 7th, at least until April 20th for Chicago Public Schools. Now the state school superintendent is telling district administrators in a letter that recommendations will soon be issued on how to go about doing remote learning so that all students can participate. As state schools chief Carmen Ayala puts it, we are in uncharted territory. Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
The death toll in Illinois from coronavirus is now 12, with 1,285 total cases. Governor Pritzker and state health leaders will provide an update at 2:30 this afternoon. We will air it live here on News Radio. Wisconsin's Governor Tony Evers has issued an official order closing all businesses deemed to be non-essential. He's also prohibiting gatherings of any size while placing restrictions on travel across the state for a month. The directive takes effect at 8 tomorrow morning and will run through April 24th, but that could change. If you're among the many working from home, ask your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio for all the latest developments.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Noon Business Hour presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Stocks are rising today. Let's find out what's going on. Jack Ablin is joining us, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital here in Chicago. Jack, what do you make? We got, let's see, the Dow up 8.5%, NASDAQ up 6.5%, S&P up 7.5%. What's going on today?
Sure. I think a couple of things. Mostly news out of Washington. Investors are waiting for an imminent bill from Congress to provide the much-needed stimulus to offset the economic drag that keeping everyone at home is taking on the economy. So I think that is should be out shortly. The other, I think, a little more subtle, and that is it may also be responding to this slight shift in philosophy that the administration is taking, in that perhaps they are looking to get our economy back moving again sooner rather than take the this isolation out many weeks. So we'll see where that stands too.
And interesting to see. I mean, well, I guess maybe you can tell by what you've been looking at. Is this broad-based increases today? Certain sectors doing better than others?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, stocks like the cruise ship companies are up 30%, companies like Clorox are off today. So it is definitely a reversal of this, the coronavirus risk trade. This is a stark reversal from the trends that we've been suffering over the last few weeks.
And what sort of a challenge does that make for investors who are maybe looking for opportunities on Wall Street? Is any bit of news can change the trajectory of what's going on?
That's it. I think part of it is, and this is, I kind of call this market a phase one and phase two market. I think phase one was that severe downdraft where investors were selling anything that they could liquidate. Didn't really matter whether it was high quality, low quality, whether it would have weathered the storm or not. That is arguably over, I think, over probably the end of last week. And what I'm using as my guide is gold. Gold should have been considered a safe haven asset, and that plunged through roughly the end of last week, and now it started rallying back this week. So I think where we're moving to now is investors are becoming a little more discriminating, looking at their portfolios, looking at their individual holdings to say, which selection will actually do well or at least muddle through, which ones are vulnerable, and they're starting to work through at the individual security level now, both bonds and stocks.
Often when stocks are falling, you have people just looking for some income, so they look for some good dividend stocks. However, now we're not really all that sure that everyone, even the reliable stocks, are going to be able to pay those dividends.
That's it, Cisco. And I think what we're witnessing is really a reversal of a trend that's been in place now for many years, and that is the trend into low-cost passive index funds. They're great when there's a tailwind and when there's easy financing and the market is moving up and all of the factors that influence the market are influencing roughly all the companies sort of at the same time. But when we get into a situation like this where now we have this kind of economic stop and it's impacting probably a third of the sectors, now investors have to be a little more discriminating, and that is really putting passive investments to the test. So one of the things I'm recommending to our clients to talk to their advisor is to actually shift out of passive investing and into perhaps a high quality mutual fund or individual portfolio, we've set up a portfolio, high quality portfolio for our clients that, you know, is really a little more discerning between which companies, like say a Microsoft, that, you know, will muddle through and has a, you know, a whole stockpile of cash and a strong balance sheet, versus like a Disney, which, you know, it's certainly a strong company and has streaming, but it also has theme parks. So those are the kinds of things that, you know, investors, at least for the time being, need to really pay attention to.
Good insight, as always. Thank you, Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital here in Chicago. Up next, Travel Tuesday, tips on how to best reevaluate summer vacation plans, especially because we don't know when some places are going to reopen.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour. Most spring break vacations were canceled this year because of the spread of COVID-19. What about summer trips, though? Joining us with some tips on how to navigate travel in a coronavirus world, Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher at joesentme.com, based in New York. Joe, it's probably difficult to think about the summer because we just don't know how long this is going to go on and what it's going to be like come June or July.
Well, hello, Cisco, and I hope everyone is staying safe. I think the key thing you might want to look at, especially literally today, the Tokyo Olympics have been delayed. That was going to be the highlight of the summer. Millions of travelers visiting Tokyo from around the world. So if they're saying in late July they do not expect to be, they will not do the Olympics, I think that needs to guide your thoughts about what might in fact be doable at all this summer.
So that means probably waiting to make any sort of travel plans, especially if you have to put down some sort of a deposit or something like that, that you're not going to get back.
I think that's a key issue. First, on the matter of monies, what we're seeing is as the airlines are contracting, they are canceling flights, obviously, and refusing to give customers back their money, which is literally illegal. But, you know, you'll have to call your credit card. So I would never give any travel provider a deposit ahead. But I think we also have to look at the fairly simple fact that we're coming up on the Easter Passover period where families, A, would normally get together, and B, would often plan their summer vacation in that period. I think we're going to have to delay that well into May, maybe even June, before you can make a thought about what the summer might hold.
So are we maybe looking at more scaled down vacations? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, the at some point the beach is okay as long as you're, what, 10 feet away from people or something like that.
That would be something. I think, Cisco, you know, what I've been trying to figure out is it okay to be in your car? Now, I'm in New York where we're on lockdown and not supposed to be doing unnecessary things. But if I'm in my car and I'm not getting out of my car, I can take a nice little road trip. There might be a lot of American road trips. I would suggest that perhaps the first airline that would be back to a reasonable schedule would be Southwest out of Midway, because they are a predominantly domestic carrier with a very simple service. But if you're thinking about going to Paris or London or Italy, even if everything's fine, there may simply not be flights. The airlines are going to be very small and very limited for very many months.
And this, I would guess, as things drag on, there may be a rush and higher costs if, say, come June, we get some sort of an all clear and everyone starts immediately planning for July and August.
That could be, Cisco, but I think people really need to think. Do you want to? At this point, I would tell people be long cash and short on reservations. It might be better to pay more, you know, a couple of months from now than plunk money down for a vacation and then it not being happening and then having to get into a fight with the travel provider to get your money back.
So maybe some people are going to be having to plan for those staycations. I know it's tough for me to be at home and not think about everything I have to do around the house, but at least that's safer than going into a bunch of public places.
I don't know. Who thinks that decluttering your closet is a good holiday?
No way.
Function, but it may be what we remember the summer of 2024.
Yeah, one of my neighbors cleaned out his garage. It's all out on the curb, waiting for the garbage collector. He's making the most of his time around the house.
I have some files from 1979 around. Does anybody want some files about airline activity in 1979?
So, Joe, other than your website, joesentme.com, are people just kind of in a holding pattern? Are there sites that they can go to monitor what's going on if they want some of that summer travel?
Well, we do have a coronavirus daily outlook page that's free to everyone. But honestly, Cisco, I don't think many travel providers are thinking more than a day or two, sometimes an hour or two ahead. We had a situation where Emirates, a huge carrier to Dubai that really takes people around the world, at one point on Saturday, they said, we're canceling all our flights. 6 hours later, they said, okay, we changed our mind. Today, it was announced that the United Arab Republic says no flights for the next 2 weeks. So no one can plan ahead in the travel industry, which means I think their plans for you will also be in chaos.
Yeah, literally day by day, as you mentioned, even hour by hour. It's just an amazing time. Thank you, Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher at joesentme.com, based in New York. That's Travel Tuesday. This time tomorrow, Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, a look at the prospect of gas prices falling below a dollar a gallon.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Gas prices have plunged during the coronavirus pandemic, and some analysts see drivers paying under a dollar a gallon at the pump soon. Oil today up a little bit. It's in the $23 range. We welcome back to the program Patrick DeHaan, Senior Petroleum Analyst at GasBuddy.com here in Chicago. Patrick, as you've been looking around, I mean, kind of give us a general idea of some of the prices that you've been seeing in Chicagoland.
Well, Cisco, we're seeing prices well under $2 a gallon, mainly in the suburbs, but just about everywhere in the suburbs now as low as $1.69. And it's going to get even uglier in terms of prices will continue to go down. I guess that looks good for motorists, those of us that are still on the roads. And it's not impossible that in at least some of our neighboring states or perhaps downstate Illinois that we could see the flash of 99-cent gasoline.
Yeah, I guess that's something to consider. In some of those neighboring states, the gas tax is not what it is here in Illinois.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, of course, ours just went up last July. So that basically puts us at arm's reach, especially in the Cook County, Collar counties, which are now on a different variety of gasoline than downstate. And that's why it's going to be possible to see some of those ultra-low prices where we don't see that restrictive summer blend of gasoline. So you'll have to go venture out far from Cook County, even away from the Milwaukee area as well. But we're starting to see some of these pockets of ultra-low prices.
And so what kind of a benefit is that to people who are actually having to still go to work and maybe some people who are seeing their salaries drop? It's actually a little good news.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Band-Aid on a gaping wound of the overall economy. Of course, oil prices, like you mentioned, up today. But overall, this is expected to save motorists perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars every day, simply because of the reduction in demand, the reduction in prices versus a year ago. We are now about 57 cents lower than we paid a year ago. So that's pennies on the dollar, but it's certainly good news to those continue to see those gas price flash low prices on their way into work.
On the flip side, this is not good news for oil companies or anyone at all involved in the energy industry.
Yeah, as you point out, a lot of the oil companies have been very hard hit with these ultra low prices. A lot of the major oil companies delaying, canceling projects, reducing spending, cutting dividends. It's been a bloodbath in the oil sector. I don't think we've ever seen what we have experienced in the last week or so. Oil last Wednesday reaching its lowest level since 2002. So not a whole lot of hope out there in the oil and gas sector.
Thanks so much for all the insight. Patrick DeHaan, Senior Petroleum Analyst at GasBuddy.com here in Chicago. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, you can just go to our stream and use Skip Back. It's a rewind mode on the Radio.com app and our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.